Welcome in to Arrowhead Pride Radio.
And Mahomes is on fire!
Here's the editor-in-chief of Arrowhead Pride, Pete Sweeney and Dusty Likens.
Pete Sweeney, Dusty Likens, that's you and that's me.
That's the two of us.
All right. We can make it if we try. We go till 7 o'clock tonight. This is Arrowhead Pride Radio. Pete Sweeney, Dusty Likens, JT is with us as well. After us is Alex Gold's That Betting Show. I really don't know where you want to start because the Denver game feels like forever ago. By the way, how are you doing this evening?
I'm well.
Isn't it beautiful outside? Take a look at that.
Let me take a look.
Take a look and then take a deep.
Mm-hmm. I find when there's always rain in the air, whether it just happened or could be threatening, makes for a nicer sky.
Yeah.
Pink sky at night, sailor's delight. Pink sky in the morn, sailor's forewarned.
Ooh, look at you. Yeah. You look like a fisherman.
Mm.
That hair and those glasses that are rhombuses.
Right.
They look like stop signs, but let's keep going. Okay, so Denver game, just like maybe a minute. 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
Okay.
Timer. Put the timer on.
16-0. They go for two and get it. Chiefs kick a field goal at the end, 19-8. Final score. Defense is now immaculate. Rashee Rice is the guy, wide receiver one, and probably the most boring, anticlimactic Chiefs game of my entire life. Yeah, anything wrong there?
It was the most dominant 19-8 victory in NFL history. I think that we shouldn't look too much into that game. I thought the defensive performance was impressive. Very quietly, the Broncos are actually better offensively this year than they were last year. And so I thought that was positive.
Uh-huh.
And like between the 20s, the offense looked pretty good. I know that doesn't matter for anything because you got to put the ball in the end zone. But the 1-for-5 in the red zone sticks out like a sore thumb.
Uh-huh.
But the yardage was good. And I think that there are cases sometimes when you get a little bit unlucky where you stall at the wrong time and say the Chiefs convert half of the ones they miss. Now you're 3-for-5 in the red zone and you're winning by, what, 4 scores? So not as dominant as I think the Chiefs could have won. But for a 19-8 game, I never really felt like it was in question.
Mm-hmm.
Now it gets magnified because you have the long break and you know, you're only able to score the 19 points. And I know that there have been some concerns about the offense, but I don't know. I'm just not subscribing to that right now. I'm trying to look at the positive of the Chiefs offense, and that's just the emergence of Rashee Rice. I know that there have been a lot of fans and a lot of commentary, a lot of talk, I know, on these airwaves on this station about which wide receiver the Chiefs have to trade for. I think it's which wide receiver they had to identify, and they've now identified that even in his rookie year, which is somewhat atypical for the Andy Reid offense, even in his rookie year, I think Rashee Rice can be that guy after Travis Kelce, and he proved it.
You
have 3rd and 2 late in the game. It did become a little bit dicey there with the 1-score game, despite everything I'm saying, and Travis Kelce had some attention, and Patrick Mahomes went, and he threw a pass to Rashee Rice, who ran it 28 yards up the field. I think that was the moment. That was the moment for me that said, okay, maybe we don't have to talk about all these traits anymore. Maybe it can be this rookie right now.
So I don't know if you've...
Was that 2 minutes?
I think it was longer.
Sorry.
I don't want to do this because I'm sure you're sick and tired of this, but I don't know if you heard this today.
What's that?
Mecole Hardman is a member of the Chiefs.
Is he?
Yeah. The jet flew back to Kansas City. He came home. Right. Mm-hmm. He didn't like his current situation, mm-hmm. wasn't being used effectively, wasn't getting into the rhythm, gave up on it and came back home. And now he's at the Chiefs front door. And Pete,
You know what they say?
Go ahead.
If you love something, set it free. If it comes back, it's meant to be.
I love that. I needed that, by the way. I don't know if you know that or not, but I needed that. Real talk. Here's the thing. I'm serious. We always say, and I always use this saying, but once a door closes, it never opens back.
A lot looks of lessons.
Like, yeah, dude, right? You know, looks like the door was open for Mecole Hardman. To me, that means one of two things. The Watson injury, which we'll get into on the other side with the injury report, but also, like, time's running out for Tony and Sky Moore, and there's a third one, sorry. Frank Clark might be a possibility to come back, too.
Yeah, a lot of news here in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
I think that we shouldn't read too far into the Mecole Hardman situation. I think a player that was only so valuable to the Chiefs became more valuable very briefly to somebody else, a price point the Chiefs weren't going to pay. That goes away now because the Jets take care of that signing bonus. It essentially is the minimum here that you're getting Hardman back for. There's the injury to Watson. You already have Richie James on IR. So even after keeping seven receivers, you're suddenly short at the position, especially when it comes to your depth. And so I think the Chiefs go and they make that move for Hardman. And this also was the same week. This isn't something I mentioned in my 3-minute spiel about the game.
Yeah.
Montrell Washington, the returner savior for the Chiefs, muffed a punt. And the Chiefs have always really been high on Mecole Hardman as a specialist. Mm-hmm. I know that there's been the debates about what he can do as a receiver. So I think all that included, Justin Watson injury, punt return upside that you have in Hardman, the price point is minimal. He wasn't happy in New York. It's so low risk. It's high reward. You get him into the offense for the same type of plays that we used to see Mecole Hardman operate in, those Andy Reid orchestrated touches with motion out of the backfield, those type of looks. Here and there, he might, you know, fill in for one of these receivers. I know everybody wants to say, well, pretty clearly now, the Chiefs weren't satisfied with their wide receiver room. I mean, I think you look back at the snaps a couple weeks from now, and I don't think it's going to look all that different for the guys because if Watson isn't playing, that's about 30 snaps. You kind of distribute them evenly. I don't think it's going to look a ton different. I just think Mecole Hardman is somebody that's familiar with the offense. He was available on the cheap, and he instantly upgrades your punt returner position while providing you wide receiver depth. That's why they went and got Mecole Hardman.
So Frank's going to be here tomorrow doing a medical testing.
Our own Carrington Harrison.
Breaking news. Look at that kid growing up.
The drive.
Man, tell you what.
Did say that he will be in town for a physical. Frank had confirmed on his X account, trying to get used to that, that he would be in town on Thursday, and then Carrington took it a step further and said he would be at the facility getting a physical. You don't get a physical unless you're maybe coming to an agreement with the team. I don't know if it's going to be on the 53-man roster. I know that sounds crazy with how important Frank Clark has been over these past few years when it comes to being a championship player and the importance of him. I wonder if they get him acclimated on the practice squad and kind of see if there is a room for him, because they're already going to have to activate Charles Omenihu this game. This is his debut after a 6-game suspension, which would require a roster spot. Uh-huh. You're now looking at a roster spot for Mecole Hardman. The Chiefs said that Watson isn't going IR, so it's a little bit of a numbers game here. I wonder if Clark and everything goes right with the physical, which is a question for him. Don't forget, he's a guy that is
always sick,
often ill. Mm-hmm. If everything goes right, I wonder if he hangs on the practice squad for a little bit before he gets the call up. It didn't seem like the Chiefs, after he was released, were in a rush to get him to Kansas City. I mean, if he's just getting his physical tomorrow. So I think that's a we'll see situation for me. And that's another one. This is where Hardman and Clark kind of meet in the middle. You're bringing these guys back to potentially fill in roles, and you're not paying them any more than what they're – it's so low risk, high upside. So I think that's what they see in Frank Clark, and we'll see how it goes.
Oh, man, I thought I nailed it. Is the computer not on? I thought I hit it.
What happened?
I don't know. It's not playing. Let me see if I hit this little button.
It's a new week in the NFL, which means it's time to take a look at the new injury report for the Chiefs.
That is loud.
Isn't it?
That is a loud – what do they call those, drops?
That is a liner. Drop would be like, pow, right in the kisser, or never heard of him.
Fishing. Hook, line, and sink.
I don't know what you're doing.
Okay.
You should have used that later, because now it's burned out. Injury report is very small on the Chiefs side. After the last 2 weeks, the NFL have been crushing with injuries. Today, only one, right?
Watson. The one we knew about Watson. If you look at the rest of the Chiefs injury report, I'm going to go through the players really quick. Travis Kelce, Kadarius Toney, George Karlaftis, Charles Omenihu, Nick Bolton, Legarius Sneed, Brian Cook, Tommy Townsend, all on the injury report for various reasons, but all of them were full participants, which means just was a busy day in the Rick Burkholder training room where a lot of these guys were receiving treatment. I did go out to the media look really short media look today.
Yeah.
They call it a 10-10-10 practice, which is...
We love those in St. Joe.
Love them in St. Joe.
Yeah, dude, we love those in St. Joe, boy.
Love those in St. Joe. Shorter day in St. Joe.
That's right.
This was a lighter practice, which means the media look is like 5 minutes long. Anyway.
You remember I almost died in a tornado in St. Joe?
I'm sorry?
Remember when I almost died in a tornado in St. Joe?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That huge shelf cloud?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was weird. I just ran to my car and hit the gas. I didn't know if I was going to make it.
They took you off the air.
Yeah. The tornado did. Anyways, go ahead.
That's when we got the very special B-dub in the morning as well, which was great.
It's now 7:49.
Anyway.
Listen to Fesco in the morning.
So I was out there, and I noticed with my binocs that Travis Kelce had a very, very thick, taped-up right ankle. So remember he was kind of looked a little dirty, I thought, in the game where his ankle was turned. He was limping a little bit. So
it was a scuffle that didn't need to happen. He turned it. He went Kurt Angle on it.
Couldn't have been that serious because he very clearly was on a PJ this weekend. And sometimes when your injury is serious, they make you stay out of the air. Mm. So just taping up the ankle. I think it'll be fine by the time the game starts. So.
And then nothing on the other side of the field? What's so funny?
Well, the one to watch on the other side is a Loey Gilman. It's a free safety. He did not practice. The Chargers went and got another player off the Falcons, off a Falcons release to claim. So it doesn't look like he will play in this game, the free safety. Other injuries to watch, I think, are Joey Bosa there. I mean, I think he should be fine. He was limited. But anytime you have a player like Bosa, you need to mention it. And also, their quarterback is on the injury report. Full participant, but the left finger for Justin Herbert is still being worked on.
Mm. I think there's more than they need to work on with him. But we'll get into that a little bit later as we dive into the Chargers matchup later on in the night. Pete Sweeney, JT, Dusty Likens, this is Arrowhead Pride Radio. Coming up next, it's the lead film analyst for Arrowhead Pride. It's Ron Kopp Jr. He joins us every single Wednesday night during this time. We get to him. Plus, later on tonight, your questions. What do you have for Pete and myself? That number is 913-586-7610. You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio on 610 Sports Radio. Let's go. If you hate this song, something's wrong with you.
Is this 1975?
I wish. This is Chris Brown. But I mean, Chris Brown's kind of chained across. Anyways,
Dusty told me during the break that he won't be here next week, so I apologize a week in advance to the listeners.
I've got a concert to go to. Sorry. It's a guilty pledge.
I've been told by a couple Chiefs fans, they wait for this each and every week.
Yeah.
I love our rapport, the Dusty Pete rapport, and now you're choosing the concert over the show.
What concert are you going to?
The 1975.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's my guilty pleasure. They're going on a hiatus, man. I got to take advantage. I'll be here every single day. I did shows at 4 o'clock in the morning with you.
Is it at Arrowhead?
No, it's at T-Mobile.
Yikes. That's tough. Whew.
They can't sell out Arrowhead.
1975.
Oh, great year.
Well, in 2023, you have a show to do.
Put Ron on the phone.
All right, hold on.
Ron Kopp Jr., lead film analyst of Arrowhead Pride. Ron, so sorry that your boss is a jerk, but welcome to the show as we do this every Wednesday. How are you tonight, my man?
Yeah, Dusty, I won't concert shame you. You know, I think that's perfectly fine. I think Pete and I can hold it down, right, Pete? I mean, we could probably have a good time next week.
Well, he already told me that Jay Binkley is coming in here.
That's your guy. Oh, that's like your stepdad.
Jay, can you tell Jay to stop talking about my high school football performances, though? Because he's making it way too public about how crappy of a quarterback.
You know what? Why don't we do this for next week? Why don't we do all three of us in studio since Dusty won't be here? How about that?
Oh, there you go.
I love that because Jay needs he's talking a little too much. You know, I need to square him up.
I bet back in the day you could throw a football over the mountains.
Well, he has one game that he remembered seeing, and I'm not going to mention it. I'm talking about it too much now. Let's talk about the Chiefs. Let's talk about some good football, boys. Yeah. What's up?
I don't really want to talk about the Denver game because it's almost been 7 days, so we kind of know what that game is. You've watched it until your eyes bleed. Mecole Hardman. Somebody asked me today, just out of the blue, they said, "Okay, the Chiefs signed Mecole Hardman. What's his role going to be?" I said, and I don't do as much analysis as you with this team, but kind of seems like, you know, he's going to, you know, probably be a punt returner, run a couple jet sweeps, and just kind of, you know, be a ploy. Do you see him taking anything away from Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney, or anything like that?
No, I think that's a simple way to put it, and I think it's correct to an extent. You know, I do think, you know, I know Pete mentioned it earlier, but man, the return game, you know, they've obviously had a little bit of a shuffling around there with just injuries in the preseason, and obviously Montrell Washington coming in and having the muff snap, the muff fumble. So I really feel like, yeah, he will be the returner for sure. I'm interested to see how much of the offense he is involved in, because the thing with Justin Watson's injury in the short term is that they could use somebody to push vertical down the field, you know, besides MVS. You know, obviously MVS is going to do that, but the thing that Watson was, you know, made Watson successful is because he was that second deep threat. And while the defense was maybe, you know, shifting their coverage towards MVS going deep, it allowed Watson to find space down the field. There's a chance that McColl can give them that because he has the speed that maybe some of the other receivers don't. You know, as much as Sky Moore, you know, we want to see more and more from him. You know, what he's done, and I do think this is a good opportunity, Watson's injury, for Moore to play more true receiver snaps, but he still doesn't have that downfield speed that really, like, you know, really threaten the safety down the field. McColl obviously does have that, so I'm interested to see if they do use him as kind of some, maybe just like a decoy vertical, you know, runner a lot of the times too. But I am excited to see him get the jet sweeps again, because I do think he has a higher ceiling on those jet sweeps when they're blocked up well than Sky, and even Toney does, honestly. Toney doesn't have that same speed in the same respect that I'm talking about with Sky. They don't have that same long speed that McColl does, and it may turn a jet sweep in from a 10-yard gain into a 30-yard gain because McColl has that acceleration and really that 10, 20, 30-yard, you know, he can really gain speed down the field. So, you know, there is a chance McColl can contribute a little more than we think right now.
Talking to our lead analyst, Ron Kopp, over at Arrowhead Pride. This is Arrowhead Pride Radio. I want to ask you, Ron, about Rashee Rice and the step that he's taken. I've been trying to tell the masses that the Chiefs actually have a receiver on their roster, believe it or not. What have you seen as far as development goes from game one to, I guess now would be game six here, from the rookie, to just show that he can be a significant part of this offense?
Absolutely. I think it's just, I think we just struggle, Pete, in Kansas City with, like, rookie receivers. Like, we get told over and over, like, they're not supposed to be able to contribute right away in Andy Reid's offense, or they're not going to be able to, or to be given the opportunity. But he is forcing their hand right now, and for good reason, because you see the main thing that sticks out to me when you watch the games and you watch when Rashee gets the ball is how comfortable and confident Mahomes is throwing to him. And when you really look at some of these other plays where Mahomes is holding on to the ball, or maybe, you know, maybe look kind of scrambling around in certain situations, he's passing up, you know, maybe tight window throws that, you know, to other guys on the field that, you know, for some reason he's not throwing to them, but I've seen him throw them to Rice. Right. So to me, it's that's the main thing. And that's why you're seeing him get so many snaps. And it's why you're going to see him be the primary slot receiver to me moving forward over Toney, over Sky Moore. It's because the slot position, and obviously Kelce mans that, you know, slot position a lot as well, but with the slot position, it really is that the position that I guess needs to find open space the most, that needs to have trust with Mahomes the most, you know, find space between linebackers over the middle, or, you know, just have the perfect route, you know, deep and kind of fit, you know, getting between corners and safeties. That's what matters at the slot position, because that's where Mahomes is going to be looking to a lot of the time. That's what's going to be getting the most targets. And that's why you're going to see Rashee playing it. So I think he has earned the right to be the primary slot receiver moving forward.
I feel like this is a big highlight or a spotlight game for him. I know in the last two games he's got, I think, 9 receptions or 9 targets, 8 catches, and like just a little over 100 yards and a touchdown. This seems like a secondary for the Chargers that's beat up, that's given up a lot of yardage. CeeDee Lamb just roasted him. And again, I'm not trying to compare CeeDee Lamb to Rashee Rice, but similar body types, maybe CeeDee a little faster. But this seems like a game that if you can get him going, and then, you know, the recipe would be to let Pacheco finish it, that could be the perfect recipe for an offense that technically is 9th in scoring offense and I believe 2nd in passing yards in the league. Do you feel the same way against the Charger defense?
Yeah, I do think the Chargers' main threat in the secondary in their pass coverage, right, is Derwin James Jr., the safety. And you're going to see a lot of him maybe match up with Travis Kelce, taking him away. And he could. That's the thing. I think, you know, there's a chance that we see James kind of get the best of that matchup, you know, closer, I guess, than he ever has, you know, before, just because of kind of where both of them are at in their career. But what that will do is open things up for the other receivers to take advantage of, like you said. I mean, they don't really have that impressive of a secondary outside of him. You know, Asante Samuel Jr. has done some stuff in the league so far. Michael Davis has been an up-and-down corner. But, you know, this could be a get-right spot for the receivers. But I will say with the Chargers, the one thing we gotta make sure they hone in on the Chiefs' is pass protection this week, because Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa are obviously the headlines, and they're going to be getting a ton of snaps. But they have a rookie edge rusher from USC, Tuli Tuipulotu.
Nice.
AP staff was a big fan of – yes, thank you. AP staff was a big fan of him in the draft, and he has been tearing it up for them as their third edge rusher, kind of, and even coming in as the third rusher while they're all on the field together in third down. So this could be a pretty ferocious pass rush with Khalil Mack feeling himself. He has 7 sacks this year. Joey Bosa obviously being Joey Bosa. So I think if the Chiefs can hone that, shore that up, then, yeah, they should be able to take advantage of the secondary.
From a points-per-game standpoint, the Chiefs are standing right now as number 2 in the league in defense. As you've watched this defense, Ron, and I know this is your favorite pastime, what are some of the hidden reasons that you think this defense is performing so well that maybe you wouldn't know if you weren't digging into the All-22 like you do on a nightly basis?
Nightly basis, Pete. You know me. I think it's just fun to look at the cornerbacks, you know, and see that they're like the headline, right? We all know Jarius Reed and Trent McDuffie are playing so well, but you know, when you really look at the secondary, you got to give credit to the safeties too. And you know, Justin Reed at the strong safety position, he has really just played such clean football this year. And it's not that he's making a bunch of big plays, right? And I think, you know, it's something that you kind of want from your safeties is to be, you know, making these big hits. And he does make big hits. But, you know, it's kind of like a Tyrann Mathieu where he's just all over the field and just kind of all over the place. Well, you know, that can be a little extracurricular. You know, Justin Reed is just playing his role so well, you may not even notice it half the time. But it's because he's, you know, the run defense is being aided by him coming up and being able to make solo tackles, you know, on the edge. But also in the pass game on third downs, he's manning up the opposing team's tight end, and he's doing a very good job so far this year. He hasn't allowed many big plays to the tight end position. And so, yeah, when you can have not only your corners locking down the receivers, but also your strong safety coming up, you know, he's bulked up a little bit for this season, and I think you're seeing it in his run defense, his tackling. And, yeah, just he hasn't lost that ability to cover tight ends at the same time. So you got to give a shout-out to Justin Reed and then Mike Edwards as well. Brian Cook, he's played well too, but I really feel like Mike Edwards is bringing an element to this defense, the turnover element, that's going to continue to get him more and more reps. And so I think the safety position is quietly, you know, a strong part of this defense.
Ron, tell the people what they can find this week on Arrowhead Pride with your content and maybe some of your friends.
Absolutely. Yeah, we don't have a short week this week, so a little time to breathe and get some game preview going. We're going to talk through, you know, kind of what the Chargers offense brings to the table. I know I just talked about the pass rush, which we'll preview as well, but, you know, it's the Chargers offense that the Chiefs, you know, that's really the matchup, right? The matchup this game is Chiefs defense versus Chargers offense, Justin Herbert versus Chris Jones. Super fun matchup, a lot of different things going into it. So look out for that. 5 things to watch at the end of the week. We'll have it all for you at arrowheadpride.com.
You're a wicked sweetheart, Ron. Thanks for all your input tonight. We'll talk to you again. Well, I won't, but they'll talk to you again next Wednesday.
Yes, sir. See you next week, Pete.
All right.
Ron Kopp, lead analyst at Junior. Don't let me pull off the Junior. That means he's got Papa Ron Kopp. That was Ron Kopp Junior.
It sounded at the beginning of that. Mm-hmm. Like he just wants to beat Jay's ass.
I guess so, dude.
You think
he could?
No.
I don't know. Jay gets a hold of you, you're done.
No. Jay seems
like Dan Saliamua.
He seems to me like somebody, you know, he gets you in the sleeper hold.
Yeah, it's over.
Good night.
Yeah. Well, we get to move on to Chargers week. Pete, I asked you 3 big questions, what this game will show, starting with the quarterback of the Chargers. And I ask you a very important question. Plus, I will play you some audio from the drive earlier this week. It's Pete Sweeney. It's Dusty Likens. It's JT. You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio on 610 Sports Radio. Back in, half of the show's over. Dusty Likens, Pete Sweeney with you. Probably, maybe biased, the 2 best-looking people that do radio in this room.
You think so?
I think I know so.
I got to be up there.
Right? Oh, you're top 3.
Right.
It's not Cody.
Mm-hmm.
Bob and Josh are dads, and they're They're past their prime.
You're saying back nine for those in the morning. Mm-hmm. Okay.
After you've had a few Bush Lights.
Mm-hmm. And then you just leave Alex.
Alex is good. And Carrington. Alex has height in the Adam's apple.
Are we including the producers in this?
Mm-hmm. B-Dub's got those eyes and that voice. Right. Some people are into that.
Right. B-Dub has got like a Tony Soprano.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mess with him.
Type of vibe to him.
No way in hell. Speaking of Carrington Harrison, also a good-looking cat, hit Matt Verderam on the show yesterday, and I played this last night on After Hours. And, Pete, I want your opinion on this because I agree with Matt because this is the first thing that I thought of whenever Justin Herbert technically loses the game against Dallas, gets sacked, first sack of the night, can't take a sack there. He just cannot take a sack there. And then immediately throws a pick to Stephon Gilmore. Matt Verderam said this. Why is this keep happening?
When you watch these games with Herbert, and I know you get these people who immediately scream, oh, he's got 13 fourth-quarter comebacks. Yeah, that's nice. In the last 3 years, you know, leads the NFL in fourth-quarter comebacks? Kirk Cousins. Okay, and nobody's clamoring for Kirk Cousins to be considered Joe Montana. Like, Herbert has this issue with late in the game. When he's got the ball and the game's on his racket, they very often, they do nothing. Earlier this year against Miami, situation arose. Did nothing. They went backwards. Last night, throws a pick to end the game. It's not all on him. Nobody reasonable saying that, but I do think you look at Herbert and all the talent in the world's there. We're 3.5 years into his career. What is his signature win? What is it? He doesn't have one. What's his signature moment? What's the year that he was almost the MVP? I mean, none of these things are true. I think he's extraordinarily talented, but at this point, he does not belong in the conversation with some of those real top quarterbacks in the league.
So before we get into this stat, I want people to know that you can now let us know your questions for Arrowhead Pride's mailbag, 913-586-7610. That is the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. Via Dov Kleinman, quarterback Justin Herbert has 13 career interceptions in the fourth quarter of one-score games. That is the most interceptions thrown with the game on the line by anyone since he entered the NFL in 2020. It is actually 5 more than the next QB on the list. Is Justin Herbert down a peg of the top-tier quarterbacks in the NFL?
I think that's only fair, but to like kind of go on this tangent and to say that he's somehow out of the top 10, I think, would be irresponsible. I know that, you know, and I said this on the drive because C-Dot asked me a similar question. I look at the situation a lot of times, and, you know, I wonder out loud sometimes how certain quarterbacks would do in certain situations. Now, it's not a fit-all excuse, but you look at him, he's already been through two offensive coordinators in covering Alex before Patrick Mahomes. This was a problem at the beginning of Alex Smith's career, where every year it was a new offensive system, new head coach, new changes, new terminology, new scheme, and they would have to learn something on the fly. And I think you see it a little bit with Caleb Williams in college, where these athletes that come out that are drafted in the top tier, if it's not a trade-up like the Chiefs did with Pat, you're entering a pretty bad situation. And sometimes you could see changes happening quickly because you're taking in that, if you're in the top 5, top 10 of the draft, you're going first to a bad team, typically speaking. And it's a team that is rebuilding. And so I don't know. I think we've seen flashes of Justin Herbert, and I hear the noise, and I hear the thing on Kirk Cousins and the fourth quarter comebacks. I just think we know what Kirk Cousins is. He's only going to get you so far. Whereas you have quarterbacks, and I just question their situations. I'm doing the same thing about Justin Fields, Dusty. Like, just because Justin Fields is a little combination there. Mm-hmm. Just because Justin Fields is in a terrible situation doesn't take away from the fact that he has shown flashes of potentially being one of the better quarterbacks in the league. And I think about that in reverse sometimes. And like I said, it all comes down to results. And you have to have him if you're going to be one of the top quarterbacks in this league. But like, what would have happened if Patrick Mahomes just went in the top of the draft? What if he ended up with a Cleveland Browns? What if he ended up in Jacksonville? Or what if he ended up in a Washington situation? Now, I think we'd see the flashes, but would we see the championships? Would we see the 5 straight conference championship games? I don't know. It is a more of a team game than folks realize, and Justin Herbert needs to do better, right? And he does need that signature win. But I just think it's more complicated than saying, well, quarterback X doesn't have a moment. It takes more than just a quarterback. It takes a coaching staff and a surrounding team for you to have that moment and a lot of those moments.
Yeah, cliche saying, chicken or the egg, which one came first? You don't really want to get ahead of yourself or get too cocky, but you beat the Chargers. I don't think you're scared about Denver the following week, but if you beat the Chargers, what, this division's wrapped up before Halloween? And you're 7-1, and you control the one seed in the AFC, and then you go to Germany and play Miami, and then the season starts? I mean,
if we are reasonably speaking about where these other franchises are, and I don't even think this is too much of a homer take. I'm trying to put myself in like a national mindset. I think I would say this if I wasn't even covering the Chiefs. Like, I don't think this division was ever a question entering the season.
Fair.
I mean, even starting the year.
But like, this early?
But yeah, even from a numbers standpoint of having to crawl back from a hole, especially because the Chiefs are going to win a lot of games. They always do. I mean, what's the floor on the ceiling? Again, not trying to jinx it. The absolute floor, 11-6, maybe 12-5. And now you're putting yourself at a disadvantage where you already almost have five losses here. So, yeah, this is a huge game for Los Angeles if they want to have any shot at the division. A lot of games left to make the playoffs. There's a lot of the wild card teams now. But, yeah, as far as the division goes, for sure. Yeah.
Do you like those type of games when that's the team you're going up against that has the, I don't know, kind of the Game of Thrones, Jon Snow, you know, Battle of the Bastards episode where he pulls the sword out and everybody's coming down the hill? Do you like that sort of game for a Chiefs team that, you know, has a lot of positive elements? We'll get into one after you answer this question, but Chargers have their backs against the wall, right? They're what, 2-3? They lose this game, they're 2-4. They have to win this game. They're on a short week. They're playing a division rivalry or a rival, and they play on primetime 3:25, and they have to travel.
Yeah, I think they're up against it for sure. I question whether they're going to be in it. I mean, I just, it's desperation mode. And I think even with teams that you haven't seen be in the position early on here that the Chargers are in, whereas like you're playing for playoffs in a sense already, it's just, it's every week, man. You saw it with the Detroit Lions week one, and that's where they were able to pull out a win. You want this game against Kansas City so bad because of what it means for your franchise, especially if you're one of these teams like Detroit, like LA, that needs, you know, usually we just heard the audio clip, that needs a signature type of victory. You always get the best shot. And so I tend to think LA is going to be trying its absolute hardest, balling out. But I just think you're right. I think the 4 days of rest, I just think the Chiefs offense is finally coming along. This top five defense,
top three.
Well, even, you know, you subtract two of those, 5-2 is top three defense. And, you know, you're looking, I think, at too tall a task to assume that the Chiefs are going to
win. Is this the biggest test for that top three defense, who is second in scoring by 0.2 behind the San Francisco 49ers? And there's 9 points in there that don't exist, in all honesty.
Yeah, I think by default, it's not like the schedule, as we learned early on, and we thought it would be a little bit tougher than it was, and it, you know, wasn't, especially with that Jets game. But yeah, I think that's fair to say. The Chargers have a lot of weapons. They just got Austin Ekeler back. I thought he looked pretty good on Monday night. Mm-hmm. I also think that it's been fun to watch Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen finally seems to be healthy after years and years of always battling these injuries, and he has just been so impressive. And he's a little bit of an older guy. It's been impressive to see, and he has always been a nuisance for Kansas City, but especially now that I think he's playing well. Be intriguing to see. You know, Ron Kopp talked about how great that secondary has been.
Yeah.
The way that Keenan Allen is playing will certainly be their toughest test yet.
That's Pete Sweeney. I'm Dusty Likens. Don't forget, we do your mailbag questions next. That number is 913-586-7610. Sorry, I had a little knot in my throat. 913-586-7610. Pete, JT, Dusty, we're back for Arrowhead Pride Radio right after this. Swear to God, I'll be shirtless tonight to this song. You see the karaoke video of your boy last weekend? Just absolutely destroying it out there.
Who's that?
Me.
Yeah. What did you sing?
Dancing in the Dark by Bruce Springsteen. I even pulled up a lady on stage. Didn't even know her.
Wow.
It was good.
What a move.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. 913-586-7610. If you do have a question for Pete or myself regarding this Chiefs team or matchup against the Los Angeles Chargers coming up on Sunday at 3:25, as it is the, I guess, primetime game. What do they get? They get Nance and Romo in that game?
Think so, right?
Yeah, I think so. 325?
I thought I saw that on Twitter.
Yeah. Okay. JT confirms it is on Twitter.
I think Romo has seen a kind of a turn. Like, mm-hmm. he was very popular at the beginning. And
well, they said he didn't study last year.
Right.
Like, that was the, I guess, quote-unquote rumor. That he just showed up, and he always brings a putter or a wedge and just, like, chips or putts before the game starts.
Oh, okay.
The real question is, who do you like better? Fox is big-time produce play-by-play in color, which is obviously Greg Olsen as the color, or Tony Romo as your color.
I tend to like Fox.
Yeah, I like Greg Olsen a lot, even though he looks like he's coming off a six-day bender every time he's on TV.
I've found that that broadcast is just more enjoyable. See, yeah. It's more easy listening.
I also feel like there's a bold breakage in chemistry between Nance and, or it's not Nance anymore. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Nance and Romo. I think there's like a little bit of a
hello,
riff.
Friends.
Yeah. All right.
Every week, send us your questions on Twitter at Arrowhead Pride and at 610 Sports KC. Now it's time for the mail.
This is my favorite part of the entire show.
You love this part.
The AP mailbag. I do. I do love this because you get to hear like what people have, you know. All right. Back in, half of the show's over. Dusty Likens, Pete Sweeney with you. Probably, maybe bias, the two best looking people that do radio in this room.
You think so?
I think I know so.
I got to be up there.
Right? Oh, you're top three.
Right.
It's not Cody.
Mm-hmm.
Bob and Josh are dads, and they're past their prime.
You're saying back nine for those in the morning. Mm-hmm. Okay.
After you've had a few Bush Lights.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you just leave Alex.
Alex is good. And Carrington. Alex has height in the Adam's apple.
Are we including the producers in this?
Mm-hmm. B-Dub's got those eyes and that voice. Right. Some people are into that.
Right. B-Dub has got like a Tony Soprano.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mess with him.
Type of vibe to him.
No way in hell. Speaking of Carrington Harrison, also a good looking cat. He had Matt Verderam on the show yesterday, and I played this last night on After Hours. And Pete, I want your opinion on this because I agree with Matt because this is the first thing that I thought of whenever Justin Herbert technically loses the game against Dallas, gets sacked, first sack of the night, can't take a sack there. He just cannot take a sack there. And then immediately throws a pick to Stephon Gilmore. Matt Verderam said this. Why is this keep happening?
When you watch these games with Herbert, and I know you get these people who immediately scream, oh, he's got 13 fourth-quarter comebacks. Yeah, that's nice. In the last 3 years, you know, leads the NFL in fourth-quarter comebacks? Kirk Cousins. Okay, and nobody's clamoring for Kirk Cousins to be considered Joe Montana. Like, Herbert has this issue with late in the game. When he's got the ball and the game's on his racket, they very often, but they do nothing. Earlier this year against Miami, situation arose. Did nothing. They went backwards. Last night, throws a pick down the game. It's not all on him. Nobody reasonable saying that, but I do think you look at Herbert and all the talent in the world's there. We're 3.5 years into his career. What is his signature win? What is it? He doesn't have one. What's his signature moment? What's the year that he was almost the MVP? I mean, none of these things are true. I think he's extraordinarily talented, but at this point, he does not belong in the conversation with some of those real top quarterbacks in the league.
So before we get into this stat, I want people to know that you can now let us know your questions for Arrowhead Pride's mailbag, 913-586-7610. That is the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. Via Dov Kleinman, quarterback Justin Herbert has 13 career interceptions in the fourth quarter of one-score games. That is the most interceptions thrown with the game on the line by anyone since he entered the NFL in 2020. It is actually 5 more than the next QB on the list. Is Justin Herbert down a peg of the top-tier quarterbacks in the NFL?
I think that's only fair, but to like kind of go on this tangent and to say that he's somehow out of the top 10, I think, would be irresponsible. I know that, you know, and I said this on the drive because C-Dot asked me a similar question. I look at the situation a lot of times, and you know, I wonder out loud sometimes how certain quarterbacks would do in certain situations. Now, it's not a fit all excuse, but you look at him, he's already been through two offensive coordinators in covering Alex before Patrick Mahomes. This was a problem at the beginning of Alex Smith's career, where every year it was a new offensive system, new head coach, new changes, new terminology, new scheme, and they would have to learn something on the fly. And I think you see it a little bit with Caleb Williams in college, where these athletes that come out that are drafted in the top tier, if it's not a trade-up like the Chiefs did with Pat, you're entering a pretty bad situation. And sometimes you could see changes happening quickly because you're taking in that if you're in the top five, top ten of the draft, you're going first to a bad team, typically speaking. And it's a team that is rebuilding. And so I don't know. I think we have seen flashes of Justin Herbert, and I hear the noise, and I hear the thing on Kirk Cousins and the fourth quarter comebacks. I just think we know what Kirk Cousins is. He's only going to get you so far. Whereas you have quarterbacks, and I just question their situations. I'm doing the same thing about Justin Fields, Dusty. Like, just because Justin Fields is a little combination there. Mm-hmm. Just because Justin Fields is in a terrible situation doesn't take away from the fact that he has shown flashes of potentially being one of the better quarterbacks in the league. And I think about that in reverse sometimes. And like I said, it all comes down to results. And you have to have him if you're going to be one of the top quarterbacks in this league. But like, what would have happened if Patrick Mahomes just went in the top of the draft? What if he ended up with a Cleveland Browns? What if he ended up in Jacksonville? Or what if he ended up in a Washington situation? Now, I think we'd see the flashes, but would we see the championships? Would we see the five straight conference championship games? I don't know. It is a more of a team game than folks realize, and Justin Herbert needs to do better, right? And he does need that signature win. But I just think it's more complicated than saying, well, quarterback X doesn't have a moment. It takes more than just a quarterback. It takes a coaching staff and a surrounding team for you to have that moment and a lot of those moments.
Yeah, cliche saying, chicken or the egg, which one came first? You don't really want to get ahead of yourself or get too cocky, but you beat the Chargers. I don't think you're scared about Denver the following week, but if you beat the Chargers, this division's wrapped up before Halloween? Mm. And you're 7-1, and you control the one seed in the AFC, and then you go to Germany and play Miami, and then the season starts? I
mean, if we are reasonably speaking about where these other franchises are, and I don't even think this is too much of a homer take. I'm trying to put myself in like a national mindset. I think I would say this if I wasn't even covering the Chiefs. Like, I don't think this division was ever a question entering the season.
Fair.
I mean, even starting the year.
But like, this early?
But yeah, even from a numbers standpoint of having to crawl back from a hole, especially because the Chiefs are going to win a lot of games. They always do. I mean, what's the floor on the ceiling? Again, not trying to jinx it. The absolute floor, 11-6, maybe 12-5. And now you're putting yourself at a disadvantage where you already almost have five losses here. So, yeah, this is a huge game for Los Angeles if they want to have any shot at the division. A lot of games left to make the playoffs. There's a lot of the wild card teams now. But, yeah, as far as the division goes, for sure. Yeah.
Do you like those type of games when that's the team you're going up against that has the, I don't know, kind of the Game of Thrones, Jon Snow, you know, Battle of the Bastards episode where he pulls the sword out and everybody's coming down the hill. Do you like that sort of game for a Chiefs team that, you know, has a lot of positive elements? We'll get into one after you answer this question, but Chargers have their backs against the wall, right? They're what, 2-3? They lose this game, they're 2-4. They have to win this game. They're on a short week. They're playing a division rivalry or rival, and they play on prime time, 3:25, and they have to travel.
Yeah, I think they're up against it for sure. I question whether they're going to be in it. I mean, I just it's desperation mode, and I think even with teams that you haven't seen be in the position early on here that the Chargers are in, whereas like you're playing for playoffs in a sense already. It's every week, man. You saw it with the Detroit Lions week one, and that's where they were able to pull out a win. You want this game against Kansas City so bad because of what it means for your franchise, especially if you're one of these teams like Detroit, like LA, that needs, we just heard the audio clip, that needs a signature type of victory. You always get the best shot. And so I tend to think LA is going to be trying its absolute hardest balling out, but I just think you're right. I think the 4 days of rest, I just think the Chiefs offense is finally coming along. This top five defense, you're traveling.
Top three.
Well, even, you know, you subtract two of those, five minus two is top three defense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're looking, I think, at too tall a task to assume that the Chiefs are going to
win. Is this the biggest test for that top three defense, who is second in scoring by 0.2 points behind the San Francisco 49ers? And there's 9 points in there that don't exist, in all honesty.
Yeah, I think by default, it's not like the schedule, as we learned early on, and we thought it would be a little bit tougher than it was, and it, you know, wasn't, especially with that Jets game. But yeah, I think that's fair to say. The Chargers have a lot of weapons. They just got Austin Ekeler back. I thought he looked pretty good on Monday night. Mm-hmm. I also think that it's been fun to watch Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen finally seems to be healthy after years and years of always battling these injuries, and he has just been so impressive. And he's a little bit of an older guy. It's been impressive to see, and he has always been a nuisance for Kansas City, but mm-hmm. especially now that I think he's playing well, be intriguing to see. You know, Ron Kopp talked about how great that secondary has been.
Yeah,
the way that Keenan Allen is playing will certainly be their toughest test yet.
That's Pete Sweeney. I'm Dusty Likens. Don't forget, we do your mailbag questions next. That number is 913-586-7610. Sorry, I had a little knot in my throat. 913-586-7610. Pete, JT, Dusty, we're back for Arrowhead Pride Radio right after this. Swear to God, I'll be shirtless tonight to this song. You see the karaoke video of your boy last weekend? Just absolutely destroying it out there.
Who's that?
Me.
Mm. Yeah. What did you sing?
Dancing in the Dark by Bruce Springsteen. Mm. I even pulled up a lady on stage. Didn't even know her.
Wow.
It was good.
What a move.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. 913-586-7610. If you do have a question for Pete or myself regarding this Chiefs team or matchup against the Los Angeles Chargers coming up on Sunday at 3:25, as it is the, I guess, primetime game. What do they get? They get Nance and Romo in that game?
Think so, right?
Yeah, I think so. 3:25.
I thought I saw that on Twitter.
Yeah. Okay. JT confirms it is on Twitter.
I think Romo has seen a kind of a turn. Like, mm-hmm. he was very popular at the beginning. And
well, they said he didn't study last year.
Right.
Like, that was the, I guess, quote-unquote rumor. That he just showed up, and he always brings a putter or a wedge and just, like, chips or putts before the game starts.
Oh, okay.
The real question is, who do you like better? Fox is big-time produce play-by-play in color, which is obviously Greg Olsen as the color, or Tony Romo as your color.
I tend to like Fox.
Yeah, I like Greg Olsen a lot, even though he looks like he's coming off a 6-day bender every time he's on TV.
I've found that that broadcast is just more enjoyable. It's more easy listening.
I also feel like there's a bold breakage in chemistry between Nance and, or it's not Nance anymore. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Nance and Romo. I think there's like a little bit of a
hello,
riff.
Friends.
Yeah. All right.
Every week, send us your questions on Twitter at Arrowhead Pride and at 610 Sports KC. Now it's time for the mail.
This is my favorite part of the entire show.
You love this part.
The AP mailbag. I do. I do love this because you get to hear like what people have, you know, they have questions for the expert in Pete Sweeney. Nobody ever says, hey, Dusty.
You don't think they?
Well, they do, and they asked me if I saw a certain someone at the Chiefs fashion show last night. You should probably try reaching out. That'd be a power couple. And I'm like, yeah, no one cares about that. Pete from the 913, how do you feel about trading a 6th or 7th round pick for Zach Ertz to help with red zones? Zone.
Sounds interesting. Now, you know, would Arizona do that?
Mm-hmm.
That's the first question. But, yeah, I mean, he seemed to have a really nice start to the year, and so why not add him to that mix of weapons? Again, it would always come down to the salary. We'd have to look at the salary and pull it up, especially now that it seems like the Chiefs are even giving the minimum deals to
mm-hmm.
more players here. They're going to be further up against it. So I tend to think the Chiefs are done trading / acquiring at this stage, and we've already heard, I think they officially announced while we were at break, that they brought back Hardman, and then Frank Clark, there's a possibility that he could be signed tomorrow.
660 mailbag. Will Omenihu fit in well with this shutdown defense? Is he a run stopper or a sack machine?
Who's that?
Omenihu.
The answer is yes.
Okay.
The Chiefs have really liked his versatility in a lot of ways, inside, outside. They like what he can do in the run game. They really like the big body next to Chris Jones. And I think they feel like he could be a wrecking machine inside on pass downs in getting to the quarterback. So I think it's going to help the pass rush. And you know, Willie Gay today was talking about how they're looking forward to his ability to set an edge. And so I think he's a do-it-all guy, which is really what fits into the Joe Cullen message. It's like, we want you to be able to do everything, inside, outside, stop the run, stop the pass. And that creates a positionless defensive line in a sense.
From the 816 mailbag, hey, Big Pete, do you think the Chiefs will make more moves after Hardman and Frank Clark? Apparently there's a move from Frank Clark. Do you think they will trade for Buda Baker, Big Pete, or any other upgrades through trades? Kind of answer that 816.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think a lot of this chatter has been outside the building. I think the Chiefs feel like they can win a championship with what they have inside the building. I know that sometimes seems daunting when you're watching like the San Francisco 49ers dismantle the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Or seeing Miami drop 70 points, but I think the Chiefs feel like if they play clean football, especially with the way the defense is playing, this new balanced attack, they can stick with anyone, and you have the Mahomes trump card. You know, if you have Patrick Mahomes, and I think they feel this way inside, and you just give him just enough, you can beat anyone. And who's to argue right now? They've lost one game by 1 point. They're 5-1, and I just think sometimes we forget that.
Which receiver, this is from the 816 mailbag, which receiver is inactivated when everyone is healthy now?
That's a great question. I think Montrell Washington falls down. And I think later on in the year, you know, if Richie James were to get healthy, they called it an MCL. So we're not even really sure exactly what's going on there. But if he were to get healthy, I think Hardman would fall. As I've been kind of saying all show and all afternoon here on 610 Sports Radio, I think they brought in Hardman for depth. So you would think McColl for depth. And I guess, and this is something we don't know, if they didn't feel like Ross had a full grasp of the playbook. A full grasp of the playbook, it might be Ross. But I think McColl's a depth signing, so the depth usually falls off.
From the 417, gentlemen, so I guess I'm included in this, do any players have to get cut or moved to practice squad to make room for McColl, Hardman, or Frank? If so, who do you think it'd be?
Yeah, they do. We'll see. Andy Reid said Watson wouldn't be going on IR, but I'm not sure if they make this move if they're not thinking it's at least a few games. So we'll see if that's the move there. I think Matt Dickerson along the defensive line. I think Malik Herring potentially. I think Keandre Coburn could be a surprise. Let's try to sneak him onto the practice squad, even though he was a draft pick. There's a number of different directions the Chiefs could go in. We'll see. Frank Clark could just be a practice squad signing until they feel that he's ready.
This is from Dusty Likens. Not sure if you know him or not. Pete, okay, this isn't for me, but Pete, is a hot dog a sandwich?
No.
Okay.
No, hot dogs.
You're a glizzy goblin.
I love hot dogs.
Okay.
I try not to eat them too often, but man, nothing like a good hot dog.
This from the 347. What are Pete's plans for the birthday boy tonight when he gets home?
That's got to be somebody I know. The dog is turning 7, so we're getting
You want to throw the dog a bone?
I think there's a pastry, or you know, one of those doggy pastries purchased today. So happy big 7 to the Sellmeister.
I love a dog, man. Joe Summers says he loves you and he wants to caress your soft clothes. That betting show is next. It is live on location night inside Hollywood Casino on 610 Sports Radio. Coming up next, it'll be Alex Gold, who will be joined by Benny Heist to break down the NFL slate. Tanner Rome from Hollywood Casino, Barstool Sportsbook, and of course, some Chiefs Chargers betting angles. Pete, thanks again for everything tonight. JT, as always, thanks to you. Kansas City, stay safe. Do kind things for people. It's cool to care. Love you. Good night, Kansas City.
Smell
you.
For you to know.
swear to God, I'll be shirtless tonight to this song. You see the karaoke video of your boy last weekend? Just absolutely destroying it out there.
Who's that?
Me.
Mm. Yeah. What did you sing?
Dancing in the Dark by Bruce Springsteen. Mm. I even pulled up a lady on stage. Didn't even know her.
Wow.
It was good.
What a move.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. 913-586-7610. If you do have a question for Pete or myself regarding this Chiefs team or matchup against the Los Angeles Chargers coming up on Sunday at 325, as it is the, I guess, primetime game. What do they get? They get Nance and Romo in that game?
Think so, right?
Yeah, I think so. 325?
I thought I saw that on Twitter.
Yeah. Okay. JT confirms it is on Twitter.
I think Romo has seen a kind of a turn. Like, mm-hmm. he was very popular at the beginning. And
well, they said he didn't study last year.
Right.
Like, that was the, I guess, quote-unquote rumor. That he just showed up, and he always brings a putter or a wedge and just, like, chips or putts before the game starts.
Oh, okay.
The real question is, who do you like better? Fox is big-time produce, play-by-play in color, which is obviously Greg Olsen as the color, or Tony Romo as your color.
I tend to like Fox.
Yeah, I like Greg Olsen a lot, even though he looks like he's coming off a six-day bender every time he's on TV.
I've found that that broadcast is just more enjoyable. It's more easy listening.
I also feel like there's a bold breakage in chemistry between Nance and, or it's not Nance anymore. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Nance and Romo. I mean, there's like a little bit of a
hello,
riff.
Friends.
Yeah. All right.
Every week, send us your questions on Twitter at Arrowhead Pride and at 610 Sports KC. Now it's time for the mail.
This is my favorite part of the entire show.
You love this part.
The AP mailbag. I do. I do love this because you get to hear like what people have, you know, they have questions for the expert in Pete Sweeney. Nobody ever says, hey, Dusty.
You don't think they?
Well, they do, and they ask me if I saw a certain someone at the Chiefs fashion show last night. You should probably try reaching out. That'd be a power couple. And I'm like, yeah, no one cares about that. Pete from the 913, how do you feel about trading a sixth or seventh round pick for Zach Ertz to help with red zones? Zone.
Sounds interesting. Now, you know, would Arizona do that?
Mm-hmm.
That's the first question. But, yeah, I mean, he seemed to have a really nice start to the year, and so why not add him to that mix of weapons? Again, it would always come down to the salary. We'd have to look at the salary and pull it up, especially now that it seems like the Chiefs are even giving the minimum deals to
mm-hmm.
more players here. They're going to be further up against it. So I tend to think the Chiefs are done trading slash acquiring at this stage. And we've already heard, I think they officially announced while we were at break, that they brought back Hardman. And then Frank Clark, there's a possibility that he could be signed tomorrow.
660, mailbag. Will Omenihu fit in well with this shutdown defense? Is he a run stopper or a sack machine?
Who's that?
Omenihu.
The answer is yes.
Okay.
The Chiefs have really liked his versatility in a lot of ways, inside, outside. They like what he can do in the run game. They really like the big body next to Chris Jones. And I think they feel like he could be a wrecking machine inside on pass downs in getting to the quarterback. So I think it's going to help the pass rush. And you know, Willie Gay today was talking about how they're looking forward to his ability to set an edge. And so I think he's a do-it-all guy, which is really what fits into the Joe Cullen message. It's like, we want you to be able to do everything, inside, outside, stop the run, stop the pass, and that creates a positionless defensive line, in a sense.
From the 816, mailbag, hey, Big Pete, do you think the Chiefs will make more moves after Hardman and Frank Clark? Apparently there's a move from Frank Clark. Do you think they will trade for Buda Baker, Big Pete, or any other upgrades through trades? Kind of answer that 816.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think a lot of this chatter has been outside the building. I think the Chiefs feel like they can win a championship with what they have inside the building. I know that sometimes seems daunting when you're watching like the San Francisco 49ers dismantle the Cowboys mm-hmm. or seeing Miami drop 70 points. But I think the Chiefs feel like if they play clean football, especially with the way the defense is playing, this new balanced attack, they can stick with anyone, and you have the Mahomes trump card. You know, if you have Patrick Mahomes, and I think they feel this way inside, and you just give him just enough, you can beat anyone. And who's to argue right now? They've lost one game by 1 point. They're 5-1. And I just think sometimes we forget that.
Which receiver, this is from the 816 mailbag, which receiver is inactivated when everyone is healthy now?
That's a great question. I think Montrell Washington falls down. And I think later on in the year, you know, if Richie James were to get healthy, they called it an MCL, so we're not even really sure exactly what's going on there. But if he were to get healthy, I think Hardman would fall. As I've been kind of saying all show and all afternoon here on 610 Sports Radio, I think they brought in Hardman for depth. So you would think McCole for depth, and I guess, and this is something we don't know, if they didn't feel like Ross had a full grasp of the playlist. A full grasp of the playbook, it might be Ross. But I think McCole's a depth signing, so the depth usually falls off.
From the 417, gentlemen, so I guess I'm included in this, do any players have to get cut or moved to practice squad to make room for McCole Hardman or Frank? If so, who do you think it'd be?
Yeah, they do. We'll see. Andy Reid said Watson wouldn't be going on IR, but I'm not sure if they make this move if they're not thinking it's at least a few games. So we'll see if that's the move there. I think Matt Dickerson along the defensive line. I think Malik Herring potentially. I think Keandre Coburn could be a surprise. Let's try to sneak him onto the practice squad, even though he was a draft pick. There's a number of different directions the Chiefs could go in. We'll see. Frank Clark could just be a practice squad signing until they feel that he's ready.
This is from Dusty Likens. Not sure if you know him or not. Pete, this isn't for me, but Pete, is a hot dog a sandwich?
No.
Okay.
No, hot dogs.
You're a big hot dog. You're a glizzy goblin.
I love hot dogs.
Okay.
I try not to eat them too often, but man, nothing like a good hot dog.
This from the 347. What are Pete's plans for the birthday boy tonight when he gets home?
That's got to be somebody I know. The dog is turning 7, so we're getting
You want to throw the dog a bone?
I think there's a pastry, or you know, one of those doggy pastries purchased today. So happy big 7 to the Sellmeister.
I love a dog, man. Joe Summers says he loves you and he wants to caress your soft clothes. That betting show is next. It is live on location night inside Hollywood Casino on 610 Sports Radio. Coming up next, it'll be Alex Gold. He'll be joined by Benny Heist to break down the NFL slate. Tanner Rome from Hollywood Casino, Barstool Sportsbook, and of course some Chiefs Chargers betting angles. Pete, thanks again for everything tonight. JT, as always, thanks to you. Kansas City, stay safe. Do kind things for people. It's cool to care. Love you. Good night, Kansas City.
Smell
you.
Baby, you're so classic. Oh, a dozen roses, anything for you.